Hi, this is Nick with the Family Gamers over at the Lucas Oil Stadium at Gen Con Day 3. I'm here with Jonathan Chaffer, designer of Filler. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. So what's been your favorite part of Gen Con so far?
It has been an exhausting weekend for me. My schedule has been taking me back and forth between Lucas Oil Stadium and the convention center over and over again, which is seems really close the first time you do it and really far the 20th time you do it. But I have had a little time to do things other than demoing and being in the booth, and gotten a couple demos in. I think probably the highlights so far for me of the things I've demoed actually have both been in the CMON booth. They have a couple new titles. One is called Gizmos that's getting some buzz that is kind of gives me the feeling of Splendor, but with more of the engine building stuff that really tickles my fancy. And also they have a new Roll&Write game called Railroad Inc. that it's really fun. It's one of those games where there's actually zero player interaction, which some people find as a negative, but I kind of like, because that means the game scales to as many players as you have boards. So it's going to be a great one for me to play at lunch with coworkers, because we can, doesn't matter how many people are there, we can still play up to like 12 people.
Oh, awesome. And then I think I did see they have like a red and blue version. Is there any difference between those? Is it just more players?
Or? There is a difference. There's a base game that is the same in both of them, and they each come with two expansions. So between the two of them, if you had both of them, you can play 12 players, and there would be five different ways to play, because you can just choose which of the expansions or none of them.
Oh, very cool. All right, so then you have a new game that just recently funded on Kickstarter called Filler. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a Green Couch Games title, so it's going to fit in their small box that most of their games come in. It is a filler game. It is a 20-minute long game for family weight or for gamers in between larger things. It is about filling pastries, and all the players are pastry chefs, and it is, mechanically, it is a hand-building game. So the closest analogy would be Century Spice Road. So it's the idea of, like a deck builder, you're getting more cards in your hand, but unlike a deck builder, you are not having to shuffle your cards and hope for luck of the draw. There's a lot more determinism in what you're doing, so you have some agency in what cards you're going to have available to you. The basic idea is that every card has ingredients that you're going to use to make pastries, which score you points, but they also have times on them, and in every round you're going to be bidding on turn order by playing a card, but the earlier the time is you give, earlier the time on the card you spend, the earlier you get to go, but the better ingredients you've given up. So that's supposed to be the hard decision in the game.
Yes, it is tough after just playing it. how did you come about, where did you get the inspiration for this design? How did you come up with the idea?
So in this case, the inspiration came from a game by Freedom and Freeze called Copycat. This is, I think a somewhat less popular design of his, but it's one that I really adore, where he intentionally took mechanisms from a number of other popular games like Dominion and Through the Ages and Agricola and a few other things and kind of mash them all together. But there's one bit of that design that I don't think was copied directly from anything else, and that's the thing that I copied, which is the idea of sacrificing cards for turn order. So I really liked that mechanism and wanted to kind of distill that into the core of the game. It's just a little corner of that game, and I felt it deserved a little more of a central place in a game.
Yeah, it makes for some tough decisions as we were playing here. I think I got stuck a couple times where I was hoping to get an early time that other people, ended up getting, so I ended up burning that card.
Yeah, and I really gravitate toward mechanisms that are easy to explain but lead to difficult decisions.
So how did the, because I love the theme of the game, everybody loves dessert, so how did the theme for the game come together?
I believe in pun-first design, so when I just kind of, it floated across my head, I was actually listening to Jason Katarski, who runs Green Couch Games, also has a podcast called 20 Minutes of Filler Podcast that I listen to, and I was just one time when listening to that, I heard the word filler and thought, that doesn't always mean that. And that's really where that inspiration came from. And so I kind of molded the game around that idea.
Oh, awesome. That's really cool. So when is that game going to be released?
It is already been successfully kickstarted and is at the printers now. I would expect that it is about 2 months away from being on shelves, give or take. Right now, during Gen Con, and probably my guess is a little bit thereafter, it is available for pre-order on the Green Couch Games website, greencouchgames.com, for $5 off, which basically covers your shipping if you're in the U.S., and it'll retail for $15.
Okay, cool. And then let's talk about some of the other designs. Can you tell us about some of the other games you've designed over the years?
Yeah, sure. My other game that's currently on shelves is through Grand Gamers Guild. It's called Stroop, and it is a speed perception game in the vein of things like Set or Spot It, things like that, where you're trying to, in this case, shed cards from your hand as fast as you can without taking turns. So it's one of those games that you know from that description already whether it's for you. But for the people who like that kind of thing, it is based on a psychology phenomenon called the Stroop effect, in which the part of your brain that processes language and the part of your brain that processes visual information tend to fight each other. And especially for grown-ups, the language center tends to win out. So if you see the word blue, but it's printed in red ink, and you ask people, what color is this printed in? They're likely to say blue because they read that word. And so that's the psychology experiment, is that you run through those fast. It's not really a game by itself. So the idea there was to translate that into a game by adding some other attributes of the words and some rules around those.
Okay, cool. Very neat. Do you have any other titles you'd like to talk about?
I've got a number of things in the works that are being looked at by other publishers. I'm a fairly new designer from the perspective of being published, mostly because I'm not a very aggressive person and don't like wasting people's time or thinking that I'm wasting people's time. But there are some things coming up. I've got a trivia game that a couple game companies are looking at, which is new territory for me. And I've got a game about buddy cop movies that may be coming out, but I don't think I can disclose the publisher that's looking at that quite yet.
Okay, cool. All right. So then we'll kind of wrap things up here. So tell me how you got into gaming to begin with.
Well, that's a difficult question because it depends on what you mean by getting into gaming. Obviously, I've been playing board games all of my life, but if you're talking about kind of the hobby designer games,
sure, yeah.
Really my avenue in was in the 90s, discovering the Looney Labs series. And my tastes have kind of evolved over the years that I don't tend to like the chaos that most of their things have, even though one of my favorite game, probably my favorite game of all time, still comes from that company. It's Zendo. But really what got me into game design in particular was actually the game Flux by Looney Labs, because it's not one of my favorite games today, but it really really paved the way for me to understand the sheer variety of things you can do with a fairly small rule set, because I pretty quickly got the set of blank cards that you can have with that and customize your own, and that kind of stoked my interest in how can I change this game to make it more to my liking, and that customization kind of eventually led to, well, what if I started from whole cloth?
Ah, okay. Interesting. Very cool. And then last question I have for you. So what games would you recommend for families, or some of your family favorite games that you recommend?
Oh, favorite family games.
Families with kids.
Yeah. So, gosh, there are so many good choices. For younger kids, one of my favorite is The Amazing Labyrinth, which is a game with tiles on a board that shift in rows. So you're always going to push a tile onto the board on one end, and they slide off on the other end. So the maze keeps shifting out from under there. And it's a nice one because it really bridges that gap for kids between their first time of thinking ahead a little bit. It's a very simple in terms of rules, but they can play on the level of just do something and see what happens and laugh to the age where they say, hey, if I do this, that's going to stop the next person from doing that. And that's been a hit. We really like Ink and Gold, also called Diamant. That's a really good one for kids in the probably like the starting in the 6 to 8 range. Play with my nieces and nephews sometimes because it's a nice push your luck game that adults like. But it's one of those things that really any game that has open information where you don't have a hand of cards is spectacular for playing with kids because you can help them along. You don't have to worry about breaking the game by knowing what they're going to do and then having to pretend like you don't know what they have when you make your choice, which is always a little difficult. So, those are the first two that come to mind.
Okay, cool. And then where can our listeners find you online?
Yeah, I am not very active on the various social medias, but on Twitter, I am at Uncle John Bob, JonBob. You can find the publishing companies I'm with if you search for Green Couch Games or Grand Gamers Guild. Also, if you're on Facebook and you're in the West Michigan area, check out Grubs, GRUBS, which is the Grand Rapids Unpublished Gaming Society. We are a group that gathers every other month to show off our prototypes and work on each other's games and make them better, and people stop in just to play things that might be coming out soon from the West Michigan scene.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. Hope you have a great con.
All right. Thanks. You too.